The children were lined up in the cafeteria of a Catholic elementary school for lunch. At the head of the table was a large pile of apples. The nun made a note and posted on the apple tray. It read, "Take only one. God is watching." Moving further along the lunch line, at the other end of the table was a large pile of chocolate chip cookies. A child had written a note. It read, "Take all you want. God is watching the apple." God is so distracted. The theme of my reflection today is the origin of sin and its consequences. We do not have a better time than at this time of the beginning of Lent to recall the origin of sin and the damages it does to us as individuals and on the world at large. Indeed, the account of man's creation and disobedience, as recorded in the book of Genesis, is very deep, and so we shouldn't really take it literally. In proposing it to us on this first Sunday of Lent, the church seems to say, "Do not be foolish, hasten to come back to God, since away from Him you will surely die. You have allowed yourselves to be cheated by the devil long enough." No doubt, there is plenty of suffering in the world, as you and I can testify, which is the fruit of sin, of man going against God's plan of love for him. Disobedience of our first parents opened the door to suffering and death. Each one of us, without exception, is as guilty as they were, since we all keep on adding to the suffering of mankind through our own personal sins. Indeed, each one of us repeated in himself or herself the story of Adam and Eve. God created each one of us with much love as he created Adam and Eve. Our parents provided the clay, so to speak, but it was God who gave us the Spirit. And we became human, we became alive. In a state of blessedness, God created Adam and Eve. He gave them the freedom to choose, which is so beautiful. And you, from experience, we all know this, how beautiful this human freedom is. In doing so, God made it possible for them to be moral beings, that is, to freely choose to do what is right or freely choose to do what is wrong. All our achievements, all our discoveries, you know, think of the modern technology and all of that, all our wars, all the heights to which we have risen, and even the depths to which we have sunk, have been about using or abusing the freedom of choice which God gave us. Unfortunately, Adam and Eve abused their freedom, just as we also do. They chose to say no to God. You see, you will notice that I use the word, a capital no, no to God. Thus, sin was introduced into the world. It was an utter disobedience to God, who offered them such a beautiful plan of love. And when you recite or pray the Lord's Prayer, you see that also re-echoed again. You know, a wish, a desire. May God's will be done on earth as it is done in heaven. It's all about this beautiful plan of love. In other words, God was saying to them, and still to us today, obey my laws. They are meant to ensure your happiness. I have a wonderful future in store for you. And one day you will be with me in heaven. You know, if you go to the New Testament, St. Paul will also mention this when he says, no eye has seen. It has not even entered the imagination of man. There is nothing in this world to compare the beauty or all the beautiful things that God has prepared for those who truly love him. But what happened after their fall? Adam and Eve, you and I, decided to go our own way, to search for happiness, not in accordance with God's law, but against his will. And the devil promised us unending happiness like he always do. Unending happiness in sin. And we quickly followed his advice. We quickly followed his counsels. And what was the result? Nothing that the devil had promised came true. Hence, Jesus called the devil, a liar from the beginning. If you go to John chapter 8, verse 44, you'll find it there. What happened to Adam and Eve after their disobedience also happened to us. The Bible says, Adam and Eve realized that they were naked. Then Genesis chapter 3, verse 7. Their nakedness was not a physical kind of nakedness you might be thinking, but rather it was one of complete helplessness, emptiness, and powerlessness. You know, theology will give it a different name, preternatural gift. Preternatural gift. One, bodily immortality. Two, integrity. The ability for them to be able to live without sin, being able to, there was a harmony. There was a perfect harmony between the body and the human will and human reason. There was a complete harmony, so they couldn't commit sin. There was no conflict between the inner self and the outer self. There was no conflict between the will to do good and also that same will to do bad. It is the same with us. By separating ourselves from God, sin renders us absolutely helpless. It blinds us and makes us incapable of seeing God around us, incapable of walking back to God on our own, which is impossible, and even of conversing with him. You know, sometimes you have problem even praying. You have problem even connecting with God, connecting with him spiritually. Hence, we need Jesus who says, I am the vine and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. John chapter 15, verse 5. Unfortunately, if we continue in this deplorable condition, it will eventually lead to eternal death as we exit this world, unless we take a decisive step or drastic action to correct the situation. St. Paul tells us that death entered the world through sin. Romans chapter 5, verse 12, just like the second reading of today. Sin brings death by its very nature. Once sin had been committed, there was no need for God to condemn man to die. Death was inevitable, and the reason is quite obvious. That is, if a person walks away from light, you know, it's logical. If a person walks away from light, he gets into darkness. Similarly, by walking away from God, who is the source of all life, one is bound to meet eternal death. This is referenced in Revelation chapter 2, verse 11. This kind of death consists in being separated from God forever. This is the most tragic fruit of sin, the kind of death we should truly fear. That is why Jesus said, do not fear the one who will kill the body but cannot destroy the soul. Rather, fear him who will destroy both body and soul in hellfire. Because that person is completely separated from God. The story of the tempting of Adam and Eve prepares us to hear the temptation of Jesus in the gospel of today. In the temptation of Jesus, St. Matthew presents Jesus as the new Adam. By Jesus' obedience to God, he restores for us the gifts lost by the disobedience of the first Adam. Remember I told you those gifts, bodily immortality, integrity, and then the other one is the infused knowledge that God makes it possible for us to have. That particular gift does not go by the natural process of reasoning. Let me give you an example of that. You know, when Jesus said, who do you say I am? Peter just spoke up. Peter did not think twice. He just spoke up and said, you are the Son of God. You are the Son of God. The Messiah we are waiting for, and so on and so forth. And then Jesus said, Let me tell you, it was not by natural process of reasoning that you got that particular answer or understanding. My father just infused, gave you that knowledge immediately. And by Jesus' victory over all the temptations presented to him by the devil, Jesus assures us that relying on him, we also can overcome our own temptations. However, if we have to be successful, if we have to be effective, we must always go through Christ. It has to be through Christ. And that means that there must be that personal relationship with Jesus. We must have that personal relationship with Jesus. However, Lent is a time to come back to our senses, to realize our foolishness, and to pray through Jesus Christ so that God may heal us from our sins and strengthen us and lead us back to himself. So if you want a copy of this, we have it in the hallway there on the table.